You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Very pleasant. Good afternoon. We are no longer in Alabama. We have escaped. But what a week it was in Hoover, Alabama. SEC Media Days, always exciting. We knew this would be fun. We didn't think it was going to be one of the bigger stories in modern SEC history. But that's where we are on this Friday as we head into the weekend. And there you go. Sooners, Longhorns on the verge of making SEC move. 48 hours ago, some were laughing at it, joking, scoffing. Kirk Bowles, respected writer, covers the Longhorns, said this: I'm told probably only Greg Abbott, governor, could stop this move, and logical minds would think he had to have known about this for some time. In other words, the train moves down the stretch. From Oklahoma, Oklahoma State had a notion OU and Texas might leave. They just didn't know when. Thank you, Cowboys, for checking in. Now you can go back to sleep. The Pac-12 commissioner said not looking to add schools would be foolish not to listen. Well, you might want to hurry up, Mr. Commissioner. He's a new guy. I don't know about you. I love all these statements. I mean, what do they mean? I mean, many believe this thing has been going on for 6 months, if not a year. A year, Oklahoma and Texas talking, 6 months, the SEC back channeling. So all these dueling statements today are pretty ridiculous. Let's continue talking about, hey, remember when this used to be the biggest story of the week? Who's going to win? Well, maybe everybody knew who was going to win. So Alabama is the pick in the West over Texas A&M. Wasn't all that close. A&M made a run at it. Matt Corral made first team all SEC. Eastern Division, not close either. Georgia over the Dogs. And please don't be shocked when I tell you that Alabama was picked to win the SEC championship. I hear people going, are you kidding? That must be a mistake all across the country. Anyway, we really look forward to the next couple of hours when we will talk to so many different people and include your phone calls as well here at 855-242-7285. So among the people we'll talk to, some of the people that have been reporting all afternoon long on these various stories, Billy Lucci will be our first guest from covers Texas A&M. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough, who covers the SEC in general. We'll also talk about the seriousness of where we are with COVID with Dr. Catherine O'Neill. She is considered the preeminent voice in Commissioner Sankey's ear. Barry Trammell has covered the Sooners. Pete Thamel, one of the top reporters in the country. And Kirk Bowles, who had the big story earlier today. So, okay. I mean, we've made the long Greyhound bus drive back. So let's get to your phone calls at 855-242. Yeah, we're punchy today. Don't mind us. 855-242-7285. Let's get to the calls, get some reaction from everywhere. And Pat, you are first up. Good afternoon. Pat, if you'll bear with me, I cannot figure out how to, maybe we can figure out a way to get you on, but I can't find my. You ever look at your computer and you can't find your cursor? I just did that. Thank you. Go right ahead.
There we go, Paul. There we go. I heard today. It's fantastic. Georgia's picked to win the East, but I want to talk to you about Texas and Oklahoma. Do you remember people saying, or we say today, remember when there was a Southwest Conference? Well, In a few years, will we be saying, remember when there was a Big 12 conference? Another thought is you got 16 teams in the SEC. That's a super conference. And are there will there end up being maybe 3.5 super conferences, the half going to the Pac-12? And another thought is, could this be the other than March Madness, could this breakup of the Big 12 perhaps be the demise of the NCAA? There's all sorts of possibilities out there.
What do you think? Pat, I don't know. I said this a couple weeks ago about NIL, that this was one of the most dramatic moments in the history of college football. This is even beyond that because, I mean, this happened in 2010, and then we saw expansion. But right now there are dozens of universities who are in the crosshairs. They don't know what's going to happen. And I encourage everyone, don't get hung up on these statements. They don't mean anything. The non-denial denials mean more than what people are actually saying. But everything will look different when this is over. And I don't think anybody today, Pat, knows when that will be. Is it in a year, 2 years, 5 years? But it's changing.
No, absolutely. One of the sticklers in my mind is what does ESPN and Texas do with the Texas Longhorn Network?
I think that's an easy thing, frankly. Let's look at it this way. ESPN owns the Longhorn Network. It's been a challenge. That's benevolent, okay? ESPN owns the SEC Network. That has been fantastic. And you just figure out a way economically to make sure Texas is taken care of on what they will not be getting from the Longhorn Network. And they'll probably be making significantly more money by coming over here. So you just move them into the SEC Network. The only issue you have is you've committed a lot of things for them, and maybe you find another outlet for some of the things that have been broadcast exclusively, and with the digital world being what it is today, that's not really all that challenging.
No, it's not. You make a good point. Now, what about the mega giant that the SEC Network comes when they bring the Texas audience and the Oklahoma?
Yeah. I mean, Texas A&M was critical because meaning the SEC. And the SEC Network, which wasn't launched yet, get into a state like Texas. But, you know, adding Texas, the value of what many of you are watching right now, I mean, we're employees, we're not stockholders, but we're still pretty happy. And it's incalculable, Pat. You've been in the world of accounting and business. You understand how these things work. And, Oklahoma is a valued team because of its brand and because of its success, but Texas is another entity into itself.
One more thought. What kind of guardrails, or what's this going to force Notre Dame to do?
I don't know, but I really, were 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, people felt Notre Dame was going to remain independent. I'm not so sure of that. There's so much more money to be made elsewhere, and I don't think Notre Dame's coming to the SEC because of the relationship they have with the ACC, but I wouldn't say there's a 0% chance of it either, though.
Well, I would think Notre Dame would go to the ACC. They could dominate in most circumstances.
It makes sense for them to do that. I mean, I would not think they would come here because there's just almost too much. They don't need it. The ACC needs them badly. Right now, the ACC is sitting there, and they don't have a lot going for it. I mean, they have a lot of deals like the SEC, but the deals are not comparable. And I'm not here to compare conference network to conference network. That's not my job. My bosses run both. But I think common sense will prevail here that this is the most valuable conference network out there.
Might we expect Auburn to move to the East?
Oh, definitely. If there is an East and a West, they could do it differently. But yeah, I think Auburn moves, and then I think Missouri probably moves to the West. And what happened? you know, Alabama, LSU, what happens there? I mean, at some point, you just can't have everybody in – you can't have Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas. I mean, there's got to be some line of demarcation. Thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Charlie is up next. Hey, Charlie, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Paul, back in 2015, you wrote a book called My Conference Can Beat Your Conference. And at the time, you got a lot of blowback and teeth gnashing from all the other conferences. How do you feel vindicated today?
Yeah, I'm just sorry that we haven't reissued a sequel to it because it might be pretty valuable.
Well, the title could be "Join My Conference and Get Billions of Dollars."
Yeah, my conference just crushed your conference again. Yeah, there's we did get a lot of blowback from that book when I went on a book tour in the national media. Just lampooned it for its arrogance and for its provincial attitude. But look at us now.
I'm an Auburn fan, but I'm for this move, to be honest with you. I think President Kennedy summed it up nicely when he said, "A rising tide lifts all boats." And I just see this as a no-brainer for the SEC. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I do too. And right now, in all candor, I understand A&M's reluctance. I understand their immediate reaction, and thank you for the call. And the Aggies were, you know, everyone has a theory on what happened when the story broke and why Ross Bjork was there and why it happened right as Jimbo was taking the stage. But none of that matters now. This will be flushed out. I do know one thing about Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. I have a hard time believing that he has not consulted the people at every school that matter, and that would be the president. And I don't think Texas A&M was completely in the dark. That's just an opinion. We will get to people this afternoon who know more than that. We'll talk to many, many experts as we roll on. It is Friday, and what a week it has been.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Call Feinbaum now. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
And we welcome you back. And we have tried to get as much reaction to this story as possible. 2 days ago, we talked to Ross Bjork and Brent Zwerneman and, of course, Jimbo Fisher. Now we want to get some perspective by a guy who is ingrained in this Texas A&M Aggie program as much as anybody, Billy Lucci. Billy, thank you. Great to see you yesterday and be on your program. So let's before we get too deep, what is the temperature today? We knew what it was Wednesday. Has it cooled off at all from the Aggies?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Not at all. Not at all. I think, in fact, if anything, it's heated up since news broke on Wednesday, because there was a time period where I think Aggies kind of thought there's no way this could happen. It's the stages of they call it the stages of grief. I think this is like the stages of aggravation, right? They are just, there was denial. Right now, I still think they're in the, I wouldn't call it anger. I'd call it rage more than anything, because with each thing that kind of comes out, I think the frustration gets more. And we know what it's all about. It's all about Texas being in the league with A&M 10 years into a 100-year decision, when the Aggies thought that in perpetuity it'd kind of be the same situation that Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Kentucky have kind of enjoyed. I think that's the root of it in terms of what's reasonable for Aggies everywhere to be pretty upset about from the top on down. Beyond that, there's a lot of different angles we could attack this from.
Well, let's talk about what you think are the most important right now in terms of what, if anything, can Texas A&M do, or are they going to get on board?
I think they're going to reluctantly get on board. I don't think, if we're being perfectly honest, and you know this, there's really not an option but to get on board. And I think when the reality sits in that, hey, Texas and Oklahoma are coming, the league, if you look at just if A&M really steps back, Paul, and Aggies, I mean, not just the people on TexAggs and the people watching today, I mean the decision makers all the way up the food chain, right up on through the top. Look, if you'd have been playing OU in Texas every year for the last 9 years instead of Alabama and Auburn, their record would have been a hell of a lot better. This is a different Texas A&M than what left the Big 12 10 years ago. They're different in every which way. They're coached by a national champion head coach. He's going to be 5, maybe 6 years into it by the time these teams come in. And the other thing that I think Aggies need to understand is the league's getting better. The league is getting better with this addition. It's going to be an unstoppable force at this point. To me, once Oklahoma and Texas became free agents, there were 3 on the market that weren't affiliated, essentially, with conferences. Throw in Notre Dame, and the SEC got 2 of them. But the final thing is, this is a different Texas now. They've been down a decade. They can't come in to a league that you've been in for 10 years. They're not going to come in and be able to dictate things the way they did in the Southwest Conference, in the Big 12. They're already going to have to give up the Longhorn Network, in my opinion. I think that'll end up happening. They're going to come in. They're not going to sit across the table and tell Alabama and Florida and Georgia how things are going to go, and they want to get the championship games moved to Dallas and SEC Media Days moved to Houston. I mean, it's just not going to work that way. So it's a different Texas. It's a different A&M. And we can finally put to bed the whole thing about them not meeting on the field.
Let's talk about why you think they made this move.
I think they made it because I think Greg Sankey was looking ahead. Would I have liked to have seen things handled differently? And we're getting different stories, I know, everywhere about how much A&M was cut into the loop or not. I can speak from certainty and say that it was very little. Now, if you want to get the other side of it to say, well, there was plenty of opportunities for them to kind of maybe figure out what was going on, or maybe there was some, you know, wordplay going on and they should have figured it out. That's an argument that I don't think will ever be settled. But to me, if you're A&M, it's right now, I think it's go time for the Aggies. And I think the only thing they should have been worried about, the only thing they should be still frustrated with, in my opinion, is kind of the way it was handled. As to the why, look, I think Greg Sankey's looking ahead. And he answered a question yesterday. He answered one question that we had for him. He was, you know, kind enough to come on for a quick question. And I didn't think he really answered it at the time. I thought he danced around it. I went back and listened to it again last night, and he basically spelled it out. He is looking ahead to, he wouldn't say whether it was a 4-16 team conferences, whether it was two, like, I don't know what you'd call them, mega conferences, whether it was keeping Oklahoma and Texas from going to the Big Ten, and it was a strategic play. This was about money. This was about keeping the SEC 10 steps ahead of the competition. And if you hate it, you hate it. If you love it, you love it. There's 14 teams, and 14 of them should be pretty fired up about this, including A&M. One of them should be pretty pissed off about it, and that's A&M. A&M, I believe, is in a weird position where they should kind of be both right now, because they made a lot more money today. The conference got stronger that they're affiliated with. They're probably not going to have to play Bama every year again. But at the same time, I think the way it went down is Andy Staples and I talked about it this morning. You know, his phrase was they got new guyed a little bit. And I think that's exactly what happened. I don't think you would have seen the same type treatment to a conference blue blood.
Well, hold on a second, because I want you to explain, Billy, how you think they were treated.
That's the big mystery in the room here. How informed, and I know today it's a moving target, so I've got my A&M sources, and they're saying that as recently as 2 days ago, Greg Sankey said that there was nothing they needed to be concerned about in the way of expansion, and throughout this thing, I've got A&M people that claim they talked to him directly and that they were kind of almost at every turn, even the former president Young asking, is there anything moving in the way of expansion or things like that? On the A&M side, they'll tell you that answer was always no. Now we're hearing from Brett McMurphy and other sources within the SEC that wasn't exactly the case. So I'll be honest with you, I don't know the exact answer there, but it sure feels like from where I sat that up until very recently, they knew about it before Wednesday, because I did confirm that prior to this news breaking, because about a little while before, and I asked Ross Bjork about it in the lobby on Wednesday, and he had heard about it. That was on Wednesday, though. Did they know about it 3 weeks ago? Did they know about it 3 months ago? Did these talks start when ESPN won the bid with CBS? I mean, that's a whole nother interesting angle that I talked about with Bowen Lofton this morning on our radio show. What did this date back to that bidding war? And was this part of the conversation? We don't know that. What I do know is that on the A&M side of things, and this much I can state, like, again, on the A&M side of things, they felt like they were pretty ambushed by the news. Now, they and Greg Sankey can argue that till the cows come home, but that's what I'm getting from the A&M side of it. And that's where I think that's where the justifiable frustration comes from. If it's adding Texas and there's some kind of agreement between Mike Slive and then verbally back then, times change, circumstances change. I think that's something A&M should absolutely understand in this instance.
Well, Billy, before we go, and it's hard for me to believe that Greg Sankey would have gone this far down the road, and by all accounts, this thing's way down the road. We'll agree on that.
Yeah.
Without consulting the president or Chancellor Sharp or someone at A&M, and I've also heard, you have too, I'm sure, that the presidents were just told you can't discuss this with anybody, including the athletic directors. I mean, this is a tight secret. You can't just, because ADs, they're the tributaries from them is a little bit different than a president. Which brings me to Wednesday. Yeah, I was reading Woken today, yeah. Thamel, all the big, and they're all suggesting that Bjork was there, the timing of it, and Zuerneman came on our show and said, he said what he said, and I have a great deal of respect for him, but it's hard to believe the timing of it. It really is. It just, things like that don't happen in journalism, as you well know.
So you're feeling like that it was leaked by A&M right then and there, while before Jimbo Fisher went on to SEC Media Days?
Well, it just you know, Ross Bjork was 3 feet away from me when the story broke, and just so happened he was talking to reporters as Jimbo walked in the room, and I'm not just throwing circumstantial evidence.
No,
I talked to two different reporters who said it's been 11 years since an AD was at Media Days, and I know what Ross said, and you know what he said. I'm just saying that, and I think a lot of people believe this, okay? This isn't just a newspaper column. I think the prevailing wind in that building was this was a leak, whether it came from John Sharp, whether it came from someone near him. But Zornman told us it was somebody that he had talked to for that he had known for a very long time, 20 or 30 years. It's hard to believe that this was something that he just dug up at 3:40 on Wednesday afternoon.
I'll say this, not to speak for Brent, and I know you and I both have the utmost respect for him. I can speak from my circumstances on this. I do think that Ross Bjork, I know what kind of AD he is. I would bet he would have been at last year's Media Days. I bet he'll be at next year's. That part notwithstanding, I got a phone call when I was up in my room getting ready to come back, and we were actually going to interview Greg Sankey. So I went to go the rare time, Paul, as you know, that I'm going to go put on a sport coat. I go up in the room, and I get a phone call. And it was from an A&M source. And I didn't have enough information that I felt comfortable racing down there and going with it. And I heard that it had kind of leaked, you know, elsewhere. There was actually a post, and it'll be interesting, I could find it, that one of my moderators took down because it had no basis and no substance to it, or so we thought, and just stirring the pot on Texas and OU joining the SEC on Tuesday night. And you go back and reread it, and it was really interesting. It felt like spam at the time to the moderator. It felt like just, you know, something to stir things up before Media Days. Now, if going back to Wednesday, I got the feeling that there was a little sense of urgency there in terms of me putting it out, but no one specifically was pushing me to say, hey, you got to get this out of there right now. It didn't feel like that, but it felt like there was certainly some sense of, hey, if this, no one said it, but in hindsight that day walking around, I was thinking this was probably something to make, you know, to put some pressure and kind of shine a light on what was going on with Oklahoma and Texas in hopes of kind of causing a firestorm. But to me, the time for doing that, if anything, it distracted from a what I thought was a great session by Jimbo. I think A&M's got a tremendous team this year. And just talking to you guys all around the SEC, that was lost in the day is that this is about as much respect for what A&M's bringing on the field and for where the program is in development that I've sensed in 10 years in the conference. I mean, I think this is A&M's arrival into the halves, and their kind of coronation was, hey, this is one of the big dogs in the league right now, walking in here led by a national championship coach, and that was kind of lost in the shuffle. The timing to kind of leak it, like you said, why ADs aren't supposed to find out, why you try to keep things a secret like this, the timing to leak it, to disrupt it, and get that train off the tracks was weeks ago, if not months ago.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Billy, thank you. Billy Lucci, great to have you on. Billy Lucci joining us from Texas. One last thing on that before we get to the break. The concern by the people in Birmingham and the SEC media was exactly what Billy just got through saying there. It interfered with a great event, and I think that's where some of the the uneasiness exists right now. We head to a break. Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it so much. We are going to talk to many more people. Thanks so much. We will talk again, I can assure you. The SEC, as of a week ago, I can tell you absolutely knew this story was circulating. I mean, they knew about it from the real side. They knew it was circulating in the media, is what I'm trying to say. There was somebody trying to get this story out. I can guarantee you that. And it's somewhat remarkable it took as long as it did to get out. Alex Scarborough, more on the story right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back from Birmingham. Let's continue with more guests, and we'll get to your phone calls in a minute. Alex Scarborough joining us. He covered SEC Media Days and covers college football for ESPN. Alex, thanks for the time. Just quickly, your thoughts on a week where if it hadn't been for the OU-Texas bombshell, what would have been the biggest story of Media Days?
That's a good question. It probably would have been the news Nick Saban broke before he got to Media Days, which was Bryce making an NIL money in the area of $1 million. I think that was the news to me that broke through the most. We were waiting for that first sort of mega deal to show up, and Nick went ahead and announced that. But as you said, I thought today I'd be sitting back and recapping a run-of-the-mill SEC Media Days, and then Wednesday, Thursday, everything changed.
Yeah, and the most ironic thing, Alex, as you well know, you cover that team and others, is Saban didn't even say that at Media Days. He said it the day before. And I'm curious, as someone who covers him and is around him a lot, the idea he said it in front of a bunch of thousands of coaches then seemed to indicate maybe he wasn't sure it was going to get out. Of course, he knew it was going to get out. But and then the next day, you know, he had a rather un-Nick Saban-like answer in relation to what he had said the day before. What did you make out of that?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Yeah, I thought the timing of and the place in which he said it was an important piece of this. I don't think it was an accident getting out, which I think is what you're alluding to. I don't think it's an accident that it happened in the state of Texas, where they've made a lot of hay in recruiting, and they lost one of their best recruiters in Jeff Banks to the University of Texas, and they want to make sure they have a stronghold there, a good relationship with coaches and with players. And, you know, what better place to drop a bomb like that than at the high school association? Then to come to Hoover, I half expected Nick to say, I don't know why you're making a big deal out of all this, of him saying that. But instead, he kind of threw up his hands and said, look, I don't know. I don't know what NIL is going to look like. I don't know what the portal is going to look like. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And that's not typically what he does. Normally he likes to kind of set the rules, make his stance known, and everybody can react from there. But he's clearly a coach who, you know, got turned 70 years old and is still willing and able to adapt to all these changes. And, you know, clearly if guys like Bryce Young are able to have that kind of earning potential, it shows that not even name, image, and likeness, as seismic a change as that is, it has the potential to derail Alabama's football program.
Yeah, Alex, on that subject, you know, I want to use the word concerned or worried in this sentence, but we all know that doesn't work when you're talking about Nick Saban. So I'll try to find a better way to ask you, why do you think he pulled back? Because Saban just clearly did not want to address what he had said the day before.
Yeah, I think he laments this new world we're in. And you heard him talk about the lack of inequality that's going to happen, lack of equality in the locker room, and talking about how college football has, you know, in his view, has been built on equality. And, you know, everybody gets treated the same. It's how you do on the football field that separates yourself. And in the locker room, what is it going to look like when you have one player making, you know, almost $1 million and another player who, you know, might make a couple thousand, might be making nothing. I mean, what kind of jealousies arise out of that? And I think as a coach, there's some concern about how you navigate that piece of things. Now, you could argue that things have never been equal in college football, and there's always been people who are more powerful in a locker room than other folks, whether it's playing time or whatever you want to look at. But he's definitely looking at this new world and saying, okay, I'm going to have to deal with a piece of this that I haven't had to deal with before, which is money and everyone knowing what everyone else is making. How do I make sure all my players are together? I don't think that's going to be an easy thing to deal with, and I don't think he knows exactly how that's going to work yet.
Alex, as expected, the least surprising thing of the entire year, Alabama picked to win the SEC. I don't know why we even have the poll, but as someone who covers that team and lives in that area, what are you most concerned about, if you had to be concerned, in relation to Alabama football this year?
Well, I think there are a number of things you look at, and it's the same thing you talk about every year. It's how do you replace the stars? It's how do you replace Mac Jones? We all know Bryce Young's really talented, but until he's in that position where he's taking live bullets in a game, how's he going to react? You don't replace Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Jerry Jeudy in back-to-back years and think you're not going to have any kind of drop-off at receiver. You don't lose the kind of offensive lineman they lost and just think, oh, we're just going to keep strolling along. Now, Alabama's done that in the past, and that's why they get the benefit of the doubt. That's why they're picked first. I think on paper, Georgia has every right to be first. If they had that track record like Alabama has of winning national championships and winning the East, I think we'd be looking at Georgia a lot differently because of everything they have returning with JT Daniels and especially that defense, man. All the starters they have back, all the talent, and the way they've recruited. To me, Georgia is right there as well. And I think if you look at what Alabama has to replace and then the schedule they've got to go through starting with Miami, that West, you know, the juggernaut that they've got to go through trying to beat an A&M and an LSU and an Auburn in the same year. I don't think it's necessarily a straight path for them to the playoff, but that doesn't mean at the end of the day they're not going to be right there.
Great stuff. Alex Scarborough from ESPN. We are rushing to a break because we have just gotten bogged down today with so much conversation about the obvious. Still a lot of time remaining in the show, so give us a ring. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back here on a busy Friday afternoon. And great to have all of you here. Let's get a call here from Oklahoma. And Bill, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you. Yeah, but
I think
Bo, go right ahead. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Apparently, we're having some echo with Bo. We'll try to get Bo back. How about Brian in Oklahoma as well? We're getting a lot of calls from Oklahoma. Thanks for finding us. You might want to just bookmark this station. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. What's up?
We're doing well. Thank you.
First of all, for get my take. Thoughts and prayers go to Bobby Bowden and his family. I've always had respect for Coach, and I hope he does well.
Absolutely.
Besides the football that Oklahoma is going to bring, how much more competitive is going to be with Oklahoma bringing softball and gymnastics to your conference?
Well, that's a big addition. I mean, they won the softball championship. They are, you know, such a well-rounded sport. Those things all matter. Oklahoma basketball has always been very competitive as well. Having said that, this is a football decision, though.
And I have one more question. With the expansion of the Big 12 was going to do a few years ago, how much did you think that Bob Boesby fumbled the mistake of not bringing in teams to help the Big 12 that maybe caused Oklahoma and Texas say goodbye?
Well, I think he made a terrible decision. You know, he let everyone on, Houston, UCF, and others, and then he didn't do anything. And, you know, he had to grow that league wherever he – and he just couldn't decide. And I'm not – I think Bob is a really smart guy. But he's been left in the dust by Greg Sankey and Jim Delaney previously and others. And you know, to Bob Boesby's credit, he saved college football last year. Had he not gone along with the ACC and the SEC, college football would have crashed and gone the same way the Big Ten and Pac-12 did. But he missed a big opportunity. West Virginia's always been a strange fit geographically. It's a good school, bring a lot to the table, but it's a tough way to go. Anyway, heading to the break, more to come. A lot to do today. We'll talk to Kirk Bowles later, who broke the big story overnight. Pete Thamel plugged in as well as anyone in the country. And your phone calls.